Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
For exclusive podcasts and more, sign up at patreon.com/partnersincrimemedia.
This week's Lawn Order Marathon winner is Kirsten Morrill of Calgary, Alberta. Kirsten will get a marathon decal showing she watched 26.2 hours of her favorite crime show. To be next week's winner, sign up at lawandorderpodcast.com.
I'm Kevin Flynn with Rebecca Lavoy and Kimberly. And these are their stories.
You think you know who did it, but you don't know who did it. Law and order, law and order, law and order. It's no ordinary police procedural, baby. It's the FNOG of police procedures, baby. Law and order, law and order, law and order, law and order. These are their stories, these are their stories.
Welcome to These Are Their Stories, the podcast about network TV's most enduring crime franchise and the real-life cases that inspired their shows. I'm Kevin Flynn. Each podcast will break down an episode from either Criminal Intent SVU or Original Recipe. And today we're looking at Special Victims Unit Season 15, Episode 20, Beast's Obsession.
Amaro, what's your partner doing?
She's going after Lewis. It's going to end this.
That's exactly what he wants.
Joining me to do just that is true crime author and the host of Crime Writers On and Netflix's You Can't Make This Up podcast, Rebecca Lavoy. Hello, Rebecca.
I brought cupcakes.
Delicious. I can't wait to eat the frosting off of them and nearly die. Rounding out our panel is our special guest from the Date with Dateline podcast. It's Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly.
I'm not happy.
You're not happy because you didn't get cupcakes?
My first two episodes of the show that when I was on your podcast were about incest, and I felt like I had to publicly announce that I do not condone incest. And then you give me the darkest, most traumatic episode by far, for me at least. Hmm. I am still traumatized from the first time I saw this episode. Also, I was promised Barba. Hmm. Barbaless.
What did you do? Why did you do this to her?
I screwed her over pretty bad, I guess.
You did.
He's in the opening credits. I got all excited.
Yeah.
Apparently, he doesn't care that Olivia is in grave danger.
His name got mentioned once.
That's true.
Yeah, that happened.
I think he was on Broadway at the time, and they're just like, he's in his office really busy fighting for this.
Justice.
Yeah.
He's getting all those warrants for all those cell phone traces.
Kimberly, in addition to podcasting, you have a side business where you do inappropriate cross stitches. Tell us about that.
I do. I've made some for you guys.
Yes.
True, you have. Yeah.
Most of them say the F word, things like that. Mm-hmm. Happy effing holidays. I don't cuss on our podcast, so it's hard for me to cuss on other podcasts.
Oh, you can do it. Bring it. By the way, it's called Stitches Be Crazy.
Yes.
And crazy with a K, right?
Yes, because with a C was taken. And my name starts with a K. So that's how that worked.
I want to know, can you do one that says, I still like William Lewis better than Peter Stone? Any day of the week. Hey, remind us, Kimberly, of all the franchises. Which two cops are your favorite Law and Order detective team?
Favorite Law and Order detective team.
I've been enjoying Rollins lately. When she's not gambling, I like her.
Yeah.
She's thinking about gambling.
When she's not all up in her vices,
yeah,
I like her.
Her hair has also improved tremendously the last couple of seasons. It's been really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing with her bangs, finally.
She knows what she's doing with her bangs. Speaking of, we have a Lieutenant Murphy's in this one, so speaking of Rollins' bangs, we'll get to that. Kimberly, remind us, as if we have to ask, who's your favorite prosecutorial team?
Favorite Law and Order District Attorney prosecutorial team.
It rhymes with ARBA.
Now let's look at the first half of this episode, Special Victims Unit, Season 15, Episode 20, Beast Obsession. Just a note, because of the two-part season premiere, some streaming services list this as episode 19, which has fucked with our episode listings for years and has elicited a lot of know-it-all tweets.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Yeah.
Hulu, it's 19. Peacock, it's 20.
No one has Peacock. It's fine.
I love the overly confident tweets.
Yeah. Yes. I have Peacock. I mean, we have everything, but whatever.
So we begin by seeing a woman baking cupcakes covered in chocolate frosting filled with crushed pills. Then the woman is in the visiting room at a prison giving the cupcakes to murdering Benson tormentor William Lewis. After eating the cupcakes, he passes out, is rushed to the hospital where he dies, comes back to life 15 minutes later, then kills a guard, rapes and binds a nurse, escapes in her car, and gets on FaceTime with Olivia to say he's coming for her.
Her cell phone, purse, car keys, all missing. We have an alert out on her vehicle, which is a white Camry, New York plates, NS.
Don't even bother. He'll ditch you before he escapes Manhattan.
He may not be leaving Manhattan.
Well, why would you say that?
Because he called me this morning from the nurse's cell phone. He said that he misses me.
Which is precisely why I've been ordered to take command of this unit.
Benson wants to lead the manhunt, but Lieutenant Declan Murphy is assigned to temporarily take over the unit. Finn finds the laced pastries and learns his girlfriend had been the foreman of his jury. Rollins and Amaro rush to Lewis's doctor's house to find her dead on the floor. Upstairs, they recover her teen daughter, Lauren, tied up in the closet, who says Lewis kidnapped her younger sister, Amelia. At the hospital, Lauren delivers a message to Olivia from Lewis. Tell him what he wants to hear. She tells Murphy that Lewis wants her to confess that during her captivity, when she beat him with a metal bar, Lewis was already handcuffed to the bed and defenseless. As Lewis kills the driver and switches cars again, he calls Benson at the station, offering to spare Amelia if she confesses to her misconduct on the news. His call was coming from Roosevelt Island, and they trace his phone to the SkyTram. Rollins and Amaro move in to arrest Lewis on the car, but he left the phone there in Amelia's backpack. The beast has slipped away again.
Hmm.
Okay, so here's the quality of the hospital.
Okay.
The guy comes in with some kind of distress, dies, and then has to bring himself back to life 10 minutes later. Thanks, Obama.
But he did have a heart attack, though.
That's what we thought at first, but then I got his toxicology back. The guy should still be dead. He had like 3 grams of propranolol in his system. It's like 150 times the therapeutic dose.
Good way to get yourself transferred out of Rikers.
Well, you know, Kevin, Bellevue is well known for its quality. You know, that's why it's used as a reference in like every bad hospital joke in the world.
I would really like to meet the medical technical advisor for this episode.
I would like to meet the continuity advisor for this episode because I have a question.
What's that?
When we get back to the station, we hear the whole timeline of events. He goes to the hospital where he dies.
Yeah.
He wakes up. He somehow convinces the guard, who is dead, to let him out of his handcuffs. Who told them that? Because that guard is dead and that nurse has not yet woken up from being knocked unconscious.
Oh, there are a lot of reality bending questions here.
When did William Lewis become like Michael Myers? Like, he can't be killed. Like, I think you could chop his head off and he'd like plop it back on and then go after Benson again.
Also, that guard had one job. Look at that guy and keep him in cuffs.
Yeah.
This whole thing is really his fault. Yeah.
By the way, how did Lewis and his chippy know exactly how much medication to put in the frosting that would kill him just enough so he could come back to life? Like, just the tip, but for dying.
I just assumed he would just eat the cupcakes until it started knocking him out, right?
Right.
She gave him 6.
But how did he die?
The dying is so unnecessary. It isn't like while he was dead, everybody turned their back and that's when he sneaked out. He died. He came back to life. They kept him overnight. And that's when he killed the guard.
He could have just gotten really sick.
He could have just gotten really sick.
It feels very like Harry Potter, like someone had to technically die, but then they come back to life so that, but it counted to break the spell or something.
Yeah. The cupcakes were his horcrux.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he had to have an illness that was bad enough to get him out of the hospital infirmary and into the real hospital where he could escape more easily.
Death would do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, waking up from death would do that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it would also make him a medical miracle.
Yes. So. Lazarus, right?
By the way, when Lewis falls from his bunk bed, the cellmate is reading a nudie magazine.
Yes.
You can tell because he's holding it sideways. I couldn't make out the fake title of the magazine, but I could read what the articles were on the cover.
Yeah.
One was Ho Ho Hoes.
So seasonal.
And the other was I Did A-Rod.
Nice.
I'm glad they're keeping it real.
You know how we know that's true?
Because everyone did A-Rod?
Because she got a gift bag.
She got a gift bag. You're thinking of Jeter. Oh, so later, Finn and a guard search Lewis's cell, and the guard is pulling all the blankets and all the pillows, and at the very end, he finds the plate of cupcakes wrapped in yellow cellophane.
What's that? Inmates can get food from the outside in here?
Where'd these come from, Carlos?
I got no idea.
Wouldn't the first thing he heard be the crackle of that giant yellow cellophane plate?
Yes. Next question.
Plus, Kimberly, you know that cellmate would have totally eaten the rest of those cupcakes.
That cellmate had a spiderweb neck tattoo and a teardrop on his face. I don't trust him to do anything. Yeah. I have made many a people mad by complaining about neck tattoos.
Yes.
And once again, that may be confirmation bias, but he has confirmed all of my theories.
If I were a guard, I would not eat a fucking thing somebody brought me.
Not that lady. That lady has crazy eyes.
Those could be the cupcakes from The Help. By the way, if the girlfriend, Bronwyn Freed, if she looks familiar, this character is because she was the foreman of the jury that convicted Lewis in the first place. Her character would come back as the girlfriend to serial killer medical examiner Carl Rudnick and help him escape with serial killer Greg Yates. So she has a thing for getting guys out.
She does.
Yeah. She likes a bad boy.
She likes a bad boy. She says Lewis was wrongfully convicted. By you!
Exactly.
Couldn't you have, done a little something more?
She was in charge of the convicting of him. She was the foreperson.
She doesn't have to convict 12, 11 other people to convict. She just alone could do it.
She says one of my favorite lines, I think, ever. She goes, I have a prescription.
I have a prescription. I get stage fright during my mandolin auditions.
Because nothing is better than a stoned mandolin player.
That's right.
Yeah, I need these laxatives. I get bound up during my accordion performances.
You're going to get so many tweets from angry accordion players. They get hurt by that. Do they ever?
Oh, squeeze off. Look, they're getting ready for this manhunt, and Murphy comes in.
Yeah.
Which we've seen once before. This was in the Rollins gambling undercover thing, right? He comes in, and he says he's taking over because...
You can't be in charge of a manhunt when you're the target of the man you were hunting.
That's the most logical fucking thing anyone's ever said on this TV show.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. You know what else makes sense?
What?
Getting protection when a serial killer rapist is after you. You know what does not make sense?
What?
Saying, I do not want protection when a serial killer rapist is after me. Why does that happen in every cop show? Olivia Benson, why does that happen? Why don't they
it
want protection?
It happened on the organized crime, too. Yeah. They had this politician who's, they're like, there is a mobster out to get you. And he's like, you don't even know how many people hate me. It's fine. I don't need any protection. Cut to his wife being murdered.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's super ridiculous. I would be
so prideful.
Yeah. Put me in a steel box and surround it with angry Doberman pinchers, please. Yeah, immediately do that. Leave me with Netflix inside. That's all I need. I will be in there as long as it takes. Do not let me in the world with Lewis running around out there.
I also don't get the people fighting over cases. Like in any other profession, if someone swooped in and was like, I'm going to take this job from you, you'd be like, go for it.
Exactly.
I'm going to go to brunch. I'm at brunch. Enjoy yourself. But here they're like, no, it's my case. I want to work 24 hours a day on this.
Yes.
I want to collate those copies. No, I'm going to collate those copies.
I'd like to hold the meeting today, please.
I want to get the cupcakes for the party.
I want to rearrange the PowerPoint slides.
So we have a Hey, It's That Guy.
Sure we do.
Hey, it's that guy.
Who's playing the worst character ever, William Lewis?
I am an agent of change. I alter the trajectory of people's lives. They might have hopes and dreams before they meet me, but then they run into me. Life as they knew it is gone.
Who is it, Rebecca?
It's Ray Donovan's brother, Pablo Schreiber.
Yeah, 13 Law & Order Universe appearances, including 8 as Lewis. He had got an Emmy nomination for Orange is the New Black as the prison guard named Porn Stash, which I think probably describes anyone with a mustache.
Generally. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So for playing this role and also for the role of Porn Stash, he won the Young Hollywood Awards We Love to Hate You Award.
Nice.
Yeah. I was thinking, will he ever be cast as a good guy? Ever?
Well, would you like to know what his new role is?
Yes, I would love to.
He ended up getting really, really buff. He is, you know, for video game fans, this will be familiar. He's going to be appearing in the live action adaptation of Halo as Master Chief.
Really?
Yeah. So the thing that your teenage kids have spent more hours on
screaming
than their homework.
At their friends.
Yeah, exactly. Go, Pablo, go!
Go get him!
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Pablo Schreiber is half-brother to?
Liv Schreiber.
Liv Schreiber.
Yes.
Oh.
There is a Ray Donovan movie coming out. We do a little Ray Donovan impression,
yes.
Don't we, Ray and Abby?
Ray! Come on, Ray!
Oops. Ask Ray Donovan to do something he doesn't want to do.
Ray, can we move out of Calabasas, please?
Still the thing with his eyes and shoulders. Like, I'm not going
I'm
going
to have to watch the show to confirm.
Yeah. It's the whole show. The first couple yeah. seasons of the show is just her being mad at Ray and Ray going,
Sounds delightful.
We have a repeat offender.
Repeat offender.
Donald Logue.
Donald Logue, yes.
The suspect is considered armed and dangerous. Do not attempt to approach him.
Fortunately, this time he doesn't do his horrible undercover Irish accent.
Unnecessary undercover Irish accent.
Which is amazing because his mother is actually an Irish national.
I mean, we can talk about this. Kimberly, you've seen the undercover episodes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Like, why does he have to have the Irish accent? Like, there's no reason. He's not in Ireland. Like, he's in New York.
He's the Irish pimp extraordinaire.
Why?
Because nobody in Brooklyn knows any Irish pimps. He must be legit.
I feel like if you want to be undercover, you want to make yourself less noticeable as possible. And having an Irish brogue in the middle of like New York City makes you very recognizable.
How about holding a press conference and then going undercover?
Going back undercover.
Yeah. Did you recognize that horrible actor playing Dr. Abraham?
No.
We did CPR for about 15 minutes. I pronounced him dead. 2 minutes later, he auto-resuscitates. They call it the Lazarus effect.
That's Shia Rabowski. 233 Law & Order Universe appearances.
What?
Two as an actor. He is the medical technical advisor for the three franchises.
Oh.
You tricked us.
Yeah. He's the guy that's, a person could go into a coma until the second commercial break. Thanks, Obama. By the way, he has, like you said, two acting appearances, one as this doctor, the other as a rabbi.
Nice.
So he was wearing a yarmulke because
I kept trying
to zoom in and see, is that rabbi an Orthodox Jew? Yes. Okay. Because I couldn't tell if his hair was just very shiny and flat on top or if it was something. He was one of my people.
Yeah. He was thinking, why couldn't this guy have come in on a Saturday?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been here. We do have a Hey, It's That Girl.
We do?
Hey, it's that girl.
Yeah, do you recognize the actress playing Lewis's former defense attorney, Martha Marin?
No.
Well, it'd be hard to find her because she was in all the earlier Lewis episodes. She's only in this because we see her face in the framed photograph.
I was going to say, she's dead.
Still got the... No, she actually... She didn't die. She just wasn't there.
Oh, I thought she was on the floor somewhere.
No. We see the framed photograph of her. And so she gets, I guess by union rule, she gets screen credit. But that was Renee Elise Goldberry.
No. From Hamilton?
2021 Emmy nominee for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited Series as Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton.
Oh, very cool.
I totally missed that. But also, why does Olivia know where his former defense attorney lives?
It's fucking stupid detail.
Yeah.
Did they like have lunch one day or go to dinner? Was she invited to dinner? I don't understand.
They share an Uber.
Yeah.
She was also a 2-time daytime Emmy nominee as Evangeline on One Life to Live.
Yep.
You knew that.
Well, I knew she was a soap actress.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's got a Tony and a Grammy Award. She is in Peacock TV's new comedy, Girls 5 Eva.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a 90s girl band that reunites as adults. It's instead of girls four ever, it's girls five ever.
Yeah, I got that
joke.
It's
a Tina Fey thing. Here's the lyrics to their song Dream Girl. Butterfly tat flying up our back. All we want to watch is you play darts. Got big doe eyes that you can swim in. Love watching stand up, but not by women.
Oh.
Running in pumps, never taking dumps, and my feet are a child size four. Dream girlfriend.
All right.
It's kind of funny, the show.
Yeah. There's also some line about she's the dream girlfriend because her father's dead and he won't ask you any questions. All right, so when they roll up at the doctor's house, by the way, good guess of all the people in the world where he'd go after, the first one would be the one physician who actually helped him at trial and during his incarceration. Okay. So Amaro knows that Lewis has been there because he sees a can of an energy drink that he drank. By the way, I looked really close. It's five crazy.
Not so far loco.
Yeah. Five times crazy. That's what it was.
I noticed that because he buys them later at the gas station.
It's his brand of energy drink. They thought, oh, he must be there. Not the stolen car in the driveway or the dead body on the floor.
You know what I think when I see Lewis?
What's that?
Dude needs more energy. He needs to get more. He needs to get more amped.
I love that they don't have him like doing cocaine or anything. It's just like no energy drinks.
Energy drinks do it.
I did want to say that when Rollins is clearing the house, she does the most piss poor job I've ever seen. She literally opens a closet, doesn't push a single thing out of the way. He's like, clear, and then opens a bedroom door, does not even go into the bedroom, and says, clear, like doesn't go under the bed, nothing. Clear.
No wonder Murphy is like, do you mind if I just go ahead of you and do this myself? No wonder.
Yeah.
We think he's being sexist. He's actually just being responsible.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can be sexist and right.
So why does he have to like wreck every single house he walks into? It's like he walks into every house like a gorilla.
Yeah.
Like, ripping things
everything
off the
out
walls.
Of the fridge.
Yeah.
He's like Axl Rose, like trashing a hotel room.
Yeah. Even the pictures on the wall were crooked.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Pans out of the cabinets.
What does he call himself? An agent of chaos. Or something.
Yeah.
So even the interior decorating has to be messed up by him.
What kind of sexual assault involves rearranging furniture? It's just everything everywhere.
For a real neat freak, that would really upset them. And that's all he wants to do.
That's it. He wants to add insult to injury. Not only am I killing everybody in your family, but you got to clean this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
So Lewis again switches vehicles. He kills the driver. He dumps the body in some water.
Probably has another vehicle. Check missing persons, carjacking reports, everything.
Lieutenant, they found a floater over by the boat slip.
They don't know who that guy is, how he got there, if that's even important, but they know something. It has something to do with Lewis.
Rollins' discovery through the cochlear implant of the owner of that car was the best detectiving we've seen on the show in a long time.
We caught a lucky break. Danny Weston, 26, he had a cochlear implant. So while they waited to hear back from the manufacturer, I went ahead and called New York Eye and Ear. They ID'd him within the hour. They only do like 100.
Okay, he's deaf. What kind of car is he driving?
And yet, Murphy, or whatever his name is, who puts her down this entire episode, also yells at her in that scene after she actually does the great detectiving.
He's like, wrap it up, Rollins. I don't need to know how the sausage is made, okay?
Yeah.
Just tell me that we found the guy.
You can see totally why she wants to fuck him.
I know. She loves you to put her down.
Oh, put a baby in me.
I know. She really loves being mistreated.
He's like negging her and it's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
She's like, hate me, please. Hate me.
She's like, we got lucky. The guy had a cochlear implant. You know who isn't lucky? The dead guy with the hearing impairment who just fished out of the pond. Lucky. By the way, Lewis calls into the SVU squad room to make his demands. And then Liv goes all back to junior high school like, I don't want to pick it up too soon. I don't want him to think I'm desperate.
I'm going to call him back in 5 days.
That's right.
I'm going to play it cool.
She read the rules.
By the way, Lewis calls SVU. He FaceTimed Liv when he escaped. Where is he getting all these phone numbers?
They're in his head.
They're in his head. He memorizes
them. He memorized Liv's, right? He had to have.
By the way, he FaceTimed called from somebody else's phone while he was driving.
Yeah.
With one
Not
hand.
Not safe, Lewis.
Yeah, I'm a bad boy. I'm texting while I'm driving.
How did he keep the phone from connecting to the Bluetooth, too? It was a trick. It was really good.
Yeah. It's like, good thing. This was before Face ID, obviously.
Yeah.
He just guessed like what her PIN code would be. the nurse's PIN code.
No, no. What he did was he put it up to her face, and then he disabled that. Come on. She was hanging in that closet.
2014. They didn't have that. Did you see how small those iPhones were?
Can we just talk for a second about that poor young actress playing Amelia and the nasty stuff she has to be subjected to sitting next to Lewis in the back of that car when he's talking about how the wonderful age of 12.
12 is such a lovely age. They start to look like a woman.
Feel like a woman. They still smell
like a little girl. Sweet.
Shampoo and baby powder.
This is the most traumatizing acting job, I think, ever. And her parents are like behind the camera watching. I can't imagine they would ever. You're out of show business. We're done.
All I could think of was is like, God, please let this be one of those situations where that person is like 27 pretending to be 12.
She's a small person.
Or just like look super young. Please.
That show where the person goes undercover to like find sexual pedophiles.
Yes.
And she like puts on a wig and stuff. Please let it be her.
Please.
I think he like almost licks her face. Yes. It's very traumatic.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. And the stage mom is like, well, this was a good idea at the time.
She wanted her SAG card, so it's worth it.
I thought you were going to be like in a Gap ad.
Well, she's like, the residuals will be coming in for a while.
Well, that is actually true.
Yeah. she's like, but the pay is weird because it's episode 19 on Hulu and episode 20 on Peacock, so getting two different checks.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now let's take a look at the second half of this episode. The signal to Amelia's phone was bounced from a burner phone in Midtown, so Benson guesses Lewis is going to the apartment of his defense attorney.
Olivia, you found me.
I did.
Your former lawyer's your next Vic?
You know, the smart ones change their patterns.
Is Amelia still with you?
It's always about the girl with you, isn't it? You don't care about my attorney?
Her trials?
You remember the smell of gas, detective?
Burning flesh? I bet you do.
Lewis, please, just stop.
Olivia believes the only way to ensure Amelia's safety is to do what Lewis wants. Confess to beating him while he was cuffed and perjuring herself at trial. Benson holds a press conference to make the statement, but Lewis doesn't release the girl or turn himself in. Murphy orders Benson to hole up in a hotel, but after getting a text message from Lewis, she slips her protective detail and commandeers a car. She drives to the set of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, where Lewis is waiting for her at gunpoint. He drives to an abandoned container ship kind of dock area. Set of the Wire. Who the fuck knows where he's holding Amelia. He ties Liv up, gropes her all around, and seems to stop his attempted rape when it's clear that she's not going to give him the satisfaction of being afraid. Instead, he forces her into a game of Russian roulette, each of them taking turns putting the revolver to their heads and pulling the trigger. Outside, SVU has traced a car to the harbor and begins a search of the area for them. Knowing the cops are closing in and reminding Liv she's already publicly confessed to brutalizing him once, he holds the gun just far enough away from his temple, hoping it will look again like Benson was the aggressor. Lewis fires the weapon and kills himself. What a happy ending.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's recap Lewis's arc because he's a really important person in the canon of SVU. He was arrested by SVU after a simple indecent exposure complaint in Central Park. And when they learn he did things like burned off his fingertips, they suspect He's not as he seems.
Yep. Rollins could sense that.
Yeah.
That was her best, actually, detective work ever. She could sense there was something off with him.
That's right.
And she was fucking right. So the witness in that case was later kidnapped and raped by Lewis. And then when he makes bail on that charge, he kidnaps Benson. Season finale cliffhanger. And then we later see that Lewis is dragging Benson to different places, making her watch him rape and kill people before they end up at this remote beach house. And she's cuffed to the bed. He's torturing her. He's burning her with hot things. And before he can rape her, she breaks free, strikes him with the metal bar, as we hear, even though he's handcuffed. He taunts her into the beating.
Yep.
And so he represents himself in court later and cross-examines Benson, getting to her head even more. And the entire ordeal sends Olivia into extensive therapy with a psychiatrist played by Mr. Noodle from Elmo's World.
That's right. But you're forgetting actually an important detail.
What's
which
that?
I think is actually important in this episode, too. He actually can't rape Olivia. He can rape everyone else.
Why is that?
Because he can't, like, get it off for Olivia.
You
like,
think?
No, that's actually a plot point. Am I remembering this wrong?
I think it's like she's too important or precious or
yes.
something. Mm. Or like he's built it up so much in his mind
yes.
that he has stage fright.
You right. mean it's like doing a mandolin audition?
He needs a prescription.
Yeah, no, like he can't. She kind of taunts him about that in the house. Like he can't do it. Like she literally watches him rape like a lot of people. She watches him kill a cop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like she watches
older
him, like,
ladies.
Yeah.
Like senior
it's horrible.
Citizens.
Horrible. And then like yeah. when you actually think as a viewer that it's going to, you've already watched her on this show, like almost have like, you know, you see her almost get raped in prison.
Yeah.
You see all these,
prison. Yeah.
Yeah. You think it's going to happen and then it doesn't. And it's pretty clear. Like he can't.
That's it? That's all you're going to give me, huh? Just going to stand there, play possum.
And then in this episode, I remember watching it the first time and being thinking like, it's not going to happen because he can't. And again, he can't. Because there's no reason why he wouldn't after we see him literally rape everybody else he encounters except for that
12-year-old. Do you think the show thinks it would be too far for her character?
Oh, I don't think the show will ever let her get actually.
She'll get really close.
Oh, yeah. I just don't think that they would go there. But I also knew it wouldn't happen with him because I knew as a viewer that he can't do that to her. He can do it to literally anybody else but her.
I've said that Maloney leaving and making it the Mariska show was the big turning point for SVU, but I really believe that the Lewis arc and Benson's trauma, a once and for all, turn SVU into a show for real-life trauma victims and changed so much about it.
I think so, too, and I think her lying on the stand is the stupidest, MacGuffiniest, like, plot point to, like, put on her. Because I don't think as a viewer, I mean, we obviously do not believe in police brutality and like, you know.
But there's a line.
Does anybody in the audience give a shit that she was beating that guy
no.
while he was handcuffed? I mean, this is the one instance in my entire life, fictionally, where I am like, 100% you should have fucking killed that guy.
Go for it. Beat him harder. It's fine. You're fine with it, Olivia. It's like they blame the victim. And then I had to watch the next episode to see how this all resolves because I had forgotten.
And hypothetically, if I were to admit it on the stand,
you'd leave yourself open to charges of assault, excessive force, perjury. Your account of what happened at the granary would be called into question. You'd lose your job, your pension, risk jail time. So let's agree not to talk about that, all right?
The whole episode is about her being on trial, basically, for shooting him.
Yeah.
Like, it's brutal.
Yeah.
What I mean, this guy was a serial rapist murderer, and someone got a couple extra licks in, and be like, most people would be like, give her a medal.
Yep.
But the whole, and also corrupt New York Police Department would 100% be like, give her a medal. But the whole thing where she gives the police press conference thing, it's like, it's just stupid, low-stakes plot point.
Hold on to that thought, because that's my next thing where I'm going to go. By the way, when you...
Okay, can I just finish that thing?
Yeah.
Especially like the corrupt as fuck New York Police Department? Yeah, it's no big deal.
So when you see on USA that it's a Lewis episode, you either really love it or you change the channel, right?
I've seen them all so many times. It's just background noise.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
They're so hard.
Another
but like,
old lady is being burned with a cigarette. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, I find this extra traumatizing because it's happening to Liv. So for me, it's like, it's more than just, why couldn't you give me like an easy breezy sex trafficking case episode? Yeah. Instead, I got Russian roulette with Liv.
Yeah.
No, I won't watch these more than once. And then you force me to.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Hey, oh, it wasn't me actually, though. You just apologize.
No, hey, if you want to be in show business, you got to suck it up. Do you think you had it worse than that little girl that had Pablo Shriver licking her face?
You know what? He gave her an apple. And she refused it. At least he wanted her to be nourished during the kidnapping ordeal.
Benson puts on a full dress uniform to make a statement about beating Lewis while he's subdued.
Yep.
And then they play it live in Times Square.
Yep.
The assault was nothing less than police brutality and excessive force. I apologize for the inhumanity of my actions and for my perjury.
Times Square people are like looking up and it's like, we interrupt our scrolling ads for Book of Mormon in the M&M store to bring you the story of police brutality being told by the police.
I guess they're playing NBC News live in Times Square, right?
It was closed captioned and everything.
This makes every episode after this where Olivia walks up to a victim and she's like, I'm Sergeant Benson. How can I help you? And they're not like, oh, yeah, I know you. You were in Times Square and you were kidnapped by that crazy guy. And then you were put on trial for killing him. Everyone knows who you are.
That's right.
But no one recognizes her after this.
No, no. I mean, if the sex traffickers aren't going to recognize Murphy from his press conference, no one's going to recognize Benson from hers.
I love when all this is going down and they're in the precinct and Finn is just eating Chinese food. Like, not a care in the world. And he's doing it with chopsticks, which I thought was, he's a cultured man.
Yes.
He's like a Renaissance man. He can rap and he can eat with chopsticks.
That's
right.
I was
impressed.
He knows which gang an inmate belongs to just by the look of his tattoos.
Yep. Like,
he knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Super impressed.
So Benson is taken away by a plainclothes security detail to a hotel restaurant, and she is sitting there with her bulletproof vest on.
Yeah.
Why be in plain clothes if the person you are protecting has a huge sign that says police on her back?
Yes. They are the horniest detail I have ever seen in my entire life, first of all.
I thought they were going to just start boning under the table.
Mr. Right turns out to be Mr. Right now, or Mr. Wrong.
Now, how's that possible? You're smart, sexy, the whole package.
This is from the guy with the wedding ring.
Do you mind if I use the ladies' room?
Be like, Olivia, you can fend for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Second of all, that is the most conspicuous bulletproof vest I've ever seen. And why was her shield on the outside of it? I mean, we all know why. Yes.
Yeah.
We all know why. It was so that she could later grab that car. I mean, that's the only reason why, for plot device reasons. But then when they took her to, like, what, that restaurant? Like, they didn't just get, like, order in? Like, they're protecting her. She's supposed to be under, like, lock and key. And they take her to, like, a fancy restaurant so they could be horny?
These two security guards have wanted to have sex and have an affair because he's married. Which we learn he has a ring, and they've like, this is our date night. This is, we're not going to let Olivia ruin it. We're going to the fancy restaurant, John. You promise you take me.
She looks like the little kid at Take Your Daughter to Work Day while she's sitting there with the two of them.
She doesn't seem to understand the gravity of the situation. Like, how many people Lewis has killed at this point.
Yeah.
She's like, this is just another duty for me. It's nothing.
Yeah.
By the way, I realize those vests only go down to, like, the mid-rift.
Yeah.
They do not protect you if you take one in the fupa.
They also don't protect your head. They don't protect really anything.
No, but it's like, if you take one in the gunt, you're like, oh, no.
No.
I got one of them slipped in. So she's going to go into the bathroom stall to secretly read the text. By the way, I'm just going to call it the dyslexic iPhone.
Yes.
Because the received text is on the side of the sent text.
Okay.
So it looks like she's sending the photo, but, you know, boomers. So she turns to that cop and says,
"You mind? I'll be right outside.
I got to drop a deuce here.
I'm about to take a huge dump. I do not want you to hear the splash. Just do me a solid, will you? Because I'm about to do a solid."
I took my Benefiber today.
That's right.
Because I needed to be regular.
She says, all right, I'll just be outside. She wasn't outside.
No, she was horny.
She was horny for that married dude. They're having sex in the coat room of that restaurant.
Apparently, you can leave the restroom without having to go back through the bar.
Right.
Where the restaurant. So, hey, great place to go get a meal.
Yeah.
You can dine and dash real fast. Pablo Schreiber got a lot of thigh groping and booby squeezing there on Mariska Hargitay in this episode.
Yeah.
That is a $450,000 an episode feel you just copped.
Yes.
But I wonder if, because I feel like she's very nice and makes friends with the guest stars and like hangs out with them. But in this case, do you think she kept some sort of emotional distance so that she could really have that real terrified acting?
Can you imagine if he's method? Oh, my God.
So starting in 2004, Mariska was nominated for an Emmy 8 times with 1 win, Golden Globe win as well. The last time she won an Emmy was 2011. She did not get nominated for her work on this season or these episodes, and I say that means that they will never nominate her again.
Agreed.
That is a crime.
Yeah. Well, it's because SVU, like, it made the turn, what, season 10 and 11, to be like a cheesy show, right? It started out taking itself real seriously, and then they started having monkeys and basketballs, and, like, no one ever took the show seriously again.
Yeah. Yeah, and also there's, I mean, other things that came in. There's other prestige
shows. TV started showing up, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you are, Mariska, you send in this as your nomination reel, and they don't just give her the award.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe because it was, you know, 8 times already, they were ready to move on to somebody else. Also, I don't even know if she was really submitting anymore.
We found
out that Candace Bergen stopped submitting after her 5th Emmy.
True. Yeah, no, I honestly think that it's just, I think the rise of prestige TV, I really do think, it's funny because SVU, it's like when I tell people that like our whole family watches SVU and we love it, it's like people over eye-rolling. People think it's cheesy.
Yeah, they don't see it as prestige television.
It is cheesy a lot of the time. This episode happens to be intense as fuck. It is also a very poorly written episode of television. Her performance is incredible in a very poorly episode written of television.
She only did the whisper acting that drives me crazy. She only did it once or twice where she's talking totally normal volume and then one word. It's very quiet. And then like.
All right, let's take a look at the real life story that inspired this episode. It's time for Ripped from the Headlines.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Know who did it.
You think you know who did it,
but you don't know who did it.
You don't know who did it. Ripped from the headlines.
Plot points for this episode are taken from the 1995 case of Gillian Guess. The 40-year-old Guess was a juror in a Vancouver gang-related murder case. During the 8-month trial, she began giving longing stares to one of the defendants, Peter Gill. Since he was out on bail, Gill was free to follow Guess around town. He approached her at McDonald's to proclaim his innocence. They began flirting outside the courthouse and later snogged in a public park. The secret relationship turned sexual. During deliberations, Guess convinced the other jurors to acquit Gill and his co-defendants. Now a free man, Gill and Guess began dating in public. Police spotted the pair dancing in a nightclub. They tapped her phone and put microphones in her bedroom, eventually getting recordings of Guess admitting to the affair while the murder trial was still underway. The Crown charged Guess with obstruction of justice. Guess showed up at court in revealing outfits and vamped for the media. After her own jury found her guilty, she told the press she'd been convicted for falling in love. Gillian Guess was sentenced to 18 months in prison, but served just 12 weeks.
So at the time of her arrest, Gillian Guess was pursuing a career in what?
What?
Criminology.
Nice.
Of course.
She really dove headfirst into those studies.
Yeah. Well, look, she said that the first time Gill came to her house, he had an irresistible bad boy look, leather jacket, and unkempt hair. I would have thought being at the defendant's table in a murder trial was bad boy enough.
He had to throw Dylan McKay on top of it? Damn.
Yeah. I know he's a killer, but he reminds me of Fonzie. So one of the weirdest details of their investigation, while police tapped the phone she used with her niece at that home, they learned that her niece was sleeping with David Duchovny of the X-Files.
What?
At the same time, she was sleeping with Vancouver Canucks right-winger Pavel Bure.
Wait, was this while David Duchovny was married to Taya Leone and had to go to, like, sex camp?
I don't think so. They were shooting X-Files in Vancouver, so.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Hmm. Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Remember when David Duchovny had to go to sex camp?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a persuasive wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, there were a lot of firsts in this case. First time in Canada, a juror had been charged with a crime. The first time jury deliberations were made public. And the first time a defendant was barred from being in the courtroom for certain testimony in the trial. Her and her attorney couldn't come in for certain bits of testimony.
Why?
I don't know. It's a crazy fucking trial.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do they have a double jeopardy situation in Canada?
I think so.
So, like, does he get, like, can't get retried because he had technically had a trial the first time?
Yes.
Amazing. What a scam.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him.
That should be a movie.
Yeah. Do they still have a relationship after this?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, what a scam. Oh.
Yeah.
Society couldn't handle their relationship and tore them apart. It's
well,
so sad.
Well, you say there ought to be a movie. There was a Canadian TV movie.
Of course.
It was called The Love Crimes of Gillian Guest.
Starring?
It starred Jolie Collins, daughter of Phil Collins, and half-sister of Lily Collins. So, you know, she's the underachiever in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a review left for this movie on IMDb. It said, I just got home from seeing this film, and I have never posted a review here, but I felt like it was my solemn duty to warn others. This is the worst movie I've seen in my life, bar none.
Real question.
Yeah.
How do you get home from seeing a made-for-TV movie?
It was at some film festival. It's a Canadian film festival. They have to bring in TV movies.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it.
Now it just makes me want to watch it, though.
Yeah.
The worst movie this person has ever seen. That's something.
So she was sentenced to serve her time at a prison that was known as Camp Cupcake. Oh my God. Got that way because she would just lick the frosting off of it.
Yes.
It was filled with drugs. That's going to do it for us. We want to thank our guest, Kimberly, from the Date with Dateline podcast. Kimberly, how can our listeners follow you online?
Dateline on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Sorry we keep giving you shitty episodes to talk about.
It's kind of my badge of honor now, so I'm really proud of it. I hope the next one, if I'm ever invited back, will be just as terrible.
Why don't you pick one that's not as horrible and we'll talk. Rebecca Lavoie, how can our listeners follow you?
Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Reb Lavoie.
And you can track me on Twitter at Kevin P. Flynn. You can also tweet to us at Law & Order Pod or follow us on Instagram at These Are Their Stories Podcast. Our newsreader was Cy Frater. Our theme music was composed and performed by Uncanny Valleys. Content assistance from Travis Roy. Lily Flynn handles promotions. To get ad-free episodes of These Are Their Stories a week early, sign up for Stitcher Premium. All clips in this podcast were used in compliance with the U.S. Copyrights Act Fair Use Exemption for criticism and commentary. Go to lawandorderpodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter for a chance to be our next Law & Order Marathon winner. These Are Their Stories was recorded in the Yoga Loft above the Bodega in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi studio and is a production of Partners in Crime Media.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.